say.
Yeah.
And there, so if you're interested, you can really put that up there.
Okay.
If there's something you need to, you can direct to.
So you can see how much my hand shakes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of easy. You've had it at the beginning. I saw it on the screen when you were there.
Well, me too, but it's like...
Is it not?
Divine? You need a new battery? At first it did, but it didn't... It did at first, but it's kind of dim now.
You see, yeah.
So do we have a battery?
It's deafening. Think the battery's dying.
I'm sure that the great smells will waft my way.
I'd like to call to order tonight's regular meeting of the San Bernardino City Planning Commission. Commissioner Daly, would you lead us in a flag salute, please?
Absolutely. Please cover your heart. Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ms. Sanchez, would you call the roll?
Yes. Chair Heasley.
Present.
Commissioner Machen.
Here.
Commissioner Ebley.
Here.
Commissioner Paxton.
Here.
Commissioner Daly.
Here.
Commissioner Wyatt.
Here.
Okay. Vice Chair Durr and Commissioner Lopez are excused. Commissioner Barnhart is absent. We have
Thank you. Anybody that's got a cell phone, would you please silence or turn off your cell phone so it doesn't interrupt this meeting? And anybody wishing to speak to the Planning Commission tonight needs to be sworn in. Would staff administer the oath, please?
Yes. Please stand for anybody who's looking to speak tonight. Okay, raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do. Thank you. You can be seated.
Thank you. What a staffer's consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon request of a member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. What does staff recommend for the consent agenda for tonight?
excuse me, Chair. We have just one item on consent, and that is the minutes from August 15th of 2015. And staff is recommending approval of the minutes.
Motion, Commissioners. Commissioner Daly?
Just like to abstain due to my absence.
Okay. Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 5-4, one abstain. And we'll open it to public hearing. The Planning Commission will first hear a report from staff, and then the public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak that has not been sworn in will have to be sworn in, and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located on a table near the door. When your name is called, come forward, speak into the microphone, say and spell your name, and give your address for the tape record. After all is spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed, and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless an appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. If you challenge the resultant action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited only to raising only those issues you or someone else has raised at the public hearing, described in this agenda, or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. Agenda item number two.
Yes. Okay, item number two tonight, it's conditional use permit 1504. It's a request for the approval, a request to modify the previously approved conditional use permit 8921 in order to allow an expansion to an existing daycare facility. Project's located 2424 West Kendall in the residential urban zone. The existing facility is at just under 3,800 square feet. With about 5,600 square foot playground and services 69 children. With the expansion, they would have a total of approximately 8,000 square feet, over 11,000 square feet of playground, and expand to 137 children capacity with 14 employees. A little background on the project. Conditional use permit 8921, which established the daycare, was approved in September of 1989. In 2008, conditional use permit modification was approved for a 1,369 square foot addition to the facility. And then the current project, CUP 1504, was submitted back in March of this year. In August, it went to the Development and Environmental Review Committee. And then in September, we noticed for this meeting. This gives a little info on the location. It's just off the intersection of Kendall Drive and Campus Parkway. Is an aerial of the site. The site plan showing the proposed expansion. Look on the to the left on the diagram. The three modular buildings that they're proposing are at the far back of the site, at the rear of an extended parking area that they're putting in or proposing. Some elevations, just of sample elevations of the modular structures. And then this is a photo of the existing facility from fronting Kendall. And the conclusion is the proposed expansion is consistent with the general plan and development code and satisfies all findings of fact required for approval. And we recommend that the commission adopt the categorical exemption for this project and approve it subject to the conditions of approval in the staff report.
Thank you. Thank you. If no speaker slips on this item, any questions by planning commissioners or staff? Being nothing in opposition of it, I'll entertain a motion.
Second that.
I have a motion and a second. In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Agenda item number three.
Good evening, commissioners. Agenda item number three involves a request for a conditional use permit to allow the establishment and operation of the Hardy Brown K-8 school. It's going to be located in the commercial center that's commonly known that used to occupy the Mervyn's department store. There's also the Starbucks at the corner there of F and 2nd Street. The applicant has been in the city since 2010. They currently are in within the Carousel Mall. Their lease is due to expire, and so they had to look for a new location. So they're, the existing facility, again, at the Mervyn's, previous Mervyn store is about 42,000, 43,000 square feet. They're going to occupy the first level, and the overall shopping center is approximately 8.35 acres. From the operational summary, we're going to have approximately 400 students, 19 teachers, 13 staff members. The first group will show up at about 7:30. Second group of kindergartners will show up at about 8:30. The dismissal times will be staggered throughout the afternoon from 3 to 5 o'clock, and there will be an after daycare for them that lasts until about 6 o'clock in the evening. As we looked at the proposed use, we looked for not just the compatibility of the school, but also we look pay particular attention to the safety and well-being of the children that are attending there. That's also a primary focus of the school operators, the Hardy Brown folks, that they actually, in their operational plan, they do arrange for their teachers and staff to be there before the students arrive. They've also put together a kind of an what I'll call an operational directional plan for the kind of the arrival. On the slide that's on the screen now kind of shows the traffic pattern. There's currently an existing drive aisle that goes along the northern side of the building and exits onto F Street. It's currently a two-way driveway. They're going to redesign that as an exit-only driveway. There will be two lanes with the safety walk lane between the two lanes so the children can step down, and also the staff and of the facility will be there to guide the children so their safety can be safely get on into the school facility. There will also be a new driveway that's just installed that's just behind where the Starbucks is that will allow for enter and exit off of the site off of F Street. So the driveway that's exit only will be for the concentration of the students. The pickup times for the pickup of the children, actually the parents, my understanding that the operational plan calls for the parents need to come in to the school, sign them out, and then walk them back themselves. Let me see. So again, there's going to be 21 classrooms. There'll be some offices, supportive office areas. There's a recreational area. There's also an outdoor playground area for the students to be there. The representatives of the school and the principal are here to answer any questions that you may have of them. With that, we are recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the categorical exemption and adopt the conditional use permit subject to the conditions of approval. I would be glad to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. My own question is with the change of the routing to a one-way exit only onto F Street, and you said that they're going to put another two-way entrance off of F Street up behind apparently the Starbucks?
That's correct.
There's confirmation from the other businesses / the court that this is not going to impact their operation?
We have had those discussions, and the applicant is also in discussions with whatever modifications need to be made. They have to run that through the property owner as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other commissioner?
Just a couple of questions. Daly? Thank you. So this is this the property that's owned by Caltrans?
No, it's not.
This is not the old Caltrans property. Okay, so. I know that this particular area is very flooded in the morning with traffic as it stands. So how are we going to deal with the increased traffic flow that occurs right there at 2nd and F with now the addition of a school that's going to be there?
So the project has been conditioned to do a subsequent traffic analysis. Which was, again, that was one of the questions that we had. Well, what are we going to do and to ensure the safety, first of all, and then also for the potential impact of the additional traffic, primarily in the morning, where we have the 400 students coming in. So there will be an analysis in terms of what the traffic control devices are out there. The applicant has agreed to do the traffic analysis and to comply with whatever mitigation measures are necessary to keep the traffic flowing in that area. But there has been some evaluation with the traffic engineers' input.
Because as far as I can tell, we have ingress coming in and off of 2nd and then Rialto up and down F.
Correct.
Is there any other ingress points?
They will be coming in off of 2nd and then off of G.
Okay.
I'm not sure how to push
yeah,
this
no, no, I know the area. I'm just like trying to understand, thinking about 2nd Street being very congested, obviously F Street being a fairly small road, G Street being a fairly small road as well.
One moment, please.
And let me see. One more. Oh, yeah, that one's okay.
So this the slide that's on the screen kind of shows the traffic flow. So it'll be they'll be coming in from either E Street. I'm sorry, G Street. And so that's the arrows indicate the direction of the cars coming in, and then off of 2nd Street. So they'll come in for those two access points and then out onto F.
And that would be the traffic just for this school?
That's just for the school, yes.
Otherwise, other traffic could be go both directions on both the what is indicated as the ingress routes. Somebody could be going out those.
Right.
Those are two-way. Okay. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Wyatt?
I have a question for Councilman Pena on this because I am running for school board, and I'm endorsed by the CCSA, which is charter schools, as well as County Board School Member Hardy Brown. So I imagine I'd have to abstain on this.
The law doesn't require you to abstain unless that's you right. have a financial interest that's affected. If you feel that because of those endorsements you cannot fairly decide this matter, then you can choose to abstain if you wish.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Paxson.
I know that we're in negotiations regarding the old Carousel Mall, and I'm not sure when those will be finalized, but with the increased traffic with this new program, do we anticipate, depending on what goes in there, any additional problems with traffic flow or so on?
Well, I think we're probably too early in the stages of the replanning of the mall to know exactly what the uses are going to be, but when we do have a fully developed plan, then we'll prepare an EIR, the applicant will prepare the EIR, and this the school in this location would just become part of the background traffic. So I don't see a conflict with the school moving across the street and 2 or 3 years from now the mall being redeveloped. I think they're not incompatible uses.
Okay.
Any other questions? Again, I have no public speaker slips requesting any public speaking on this item, so I'll entertain a motion.
I would move approval of conditional use permit 15-07 based on findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to the conditionals of approval and attachment A.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, excuse me. There's also a recommendation to adopt the categorical exemption. That should be part of the motion.
Okay. I'll add that as well.
Okay. I have a corrected motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
And Commissioner Ebley with the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous?
Abstain.
Commissioner Wyatt, abstain. Thank you very much. Item number four, agenda item four.
Commissioners, the proposed project is a request to approve conditional use permit to allow the establishment, conditional use permit 15-10 to allow the establishment and operation of a banquet hall existing within a 12,000 square foot tenant space in an existing commercial development. The proposed banquet hall is located at 1480 Southeast Street, Suites B and C, in the commercial general CG1 zone. The conditional use permit was taken to the DERC meeting on August 27th and reviewed by the Development and Environmental Review Committee. And the proposal was to move it to Planning Commission for a consideration for today's review. You can see by the location map, the proposed project is located in the commercial general CG1 zone in a multi-tenant commercial facility. Okay. There are plans to seat approximately 300 people for various events. And there are a few existing photos. Additionally, the banquet hall will be located within the multi-tenant facility, which is primarily occupied by various retail uses, and the banquet hall will operate off-peak hours, so there shouldn't be too much of a conflict as far as parking, and according to our parking analysis, they have enough to suffice. The only use that might conflict at all is the FedEx Kinko's, but only for maybe an hour overlap time. And our recommendation to the council is for approval based on the findings of fact and the staff report, subject to the conditions of approval. I can answer any questions.
Any commissioners have any questions to staff?
I guess just a question of the developer.
Just a quick question about what this use is actually going to be. I mean, I can read a banquet hall. I'm just curious, like, what that's actually going to look like. And
right, for various parties, weddings, quinceañeras, events of that nature. There's currently no kitchen facilities proposed or ABC license that is being requested at this time. All the events will be catered, but it is a location for primarily weddings, banquets, and
so it'll be essentially a private use facility?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Would the applicant prefer to make any kind of presentation at this time? In that case, then I will start calling the public speakers on this option. We'll start with a Ranjit Singar. Please state your name and address for the tape record, please.
My name is Ranjit Singh, R-A-N-J-I-T, Singh, S-I-N-G-H. Address is 1650 South E Street, San Bernardino, 92408. I do have a location there. I do have a banquet hall already, less than 300 feet from it. And my parking is 290 parking. It's the biggest parking over there, but they don't have enough parking. Second thing, operating the banquet hall, they do need a liquor license. If they don't, they're going to bring it from outside, which is already too many here in my area. So this is my problem. I mean, I need to see why it's getting approved over there. That's all I want to say.
Okay. Make sure I understand what your statement is. Is you don't feel that they have adequate parking without infringing on the parking allocated to your business?
Yes.
According to staff analysis, the center itself, and that's not including the center where his banquet hall is, we have 298 parking spaces available, and according to the space requirements for parking, they're only required to utilize 285. So we do have enough parking.
And these are shared spaces that are shared with other businesses as well, correct?
Shared within this one complex, yes.
Okay.
Which is next door to Mr. Singh's complex. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Next would be Armando Yepes.
Very good. Thank you.
Welcome.
My name is Armando Yepes, A-R-M-A-N-D-O-Y-E-P-E-S. Address is 1650 South E Street. The same facility as Mr. Singh, Jasan Banquet. And there's several issues that we have with the facility receiving a conditional use permit. We believe that San Bernardino needs new business. We welcome new business. We need the sales tax dollars. We're coming out of a tough, tough bankruptcy. We welcome new business, but we want to make sure that new business does not feed off of existing business. So we need to make sure that the Planning Commission identifies the key issues that we're going to point out right now. Okay. So the first issue is we don't want to have like businesses right next to each other. We are within a football field of one another. There are two separate complexes. One has about 12 businesses with an exact count of 242 parking spots. We walk the facility. It does not have 298. The facility is also 100,000 square feet, and they have 242 parking spots. We are 50,000 square feet, and we have 296 parking spaces. So we believe that with the number of tenants that already are in that facility, it's going to cause a parking problem. The other is, if you have a facility that's going to have quinceañeras, we know because we have customers come to us and say, we want to rent the hall from you, but we want to bring our own liquor, our own beer, and we will figure out how to do it so that you don't get into trouble. We don't need anybody breaking the law. So that's another reason why we need to have the commission direct staff to identify what the potential problems will be by having two facilities of the same type of business so close together. And the last is we have to use common sense in terms of not cannibalizing existing business. So we are so close together that we will be competing against one another, and each of us will be lowering our rates in order to win against the other. So we need to make sure that we have a facility that offers quinceañeras, parties, separate from each other to the point where each one can offer its own advantages, but not right next to each other. And I'll use the example of CompUSA and Micro City. They were so close together, and they are no longer in existence because they started competing against one another. So we want to be able to avoid that here also. So that's my position, and we would like to have the Planning Commission redirect staff to do further analysis of the impact that it would have on our facility and the parking requirement for that 100,000 square foot. And that's it.
Thank you. I think we're going to probably request some additional clarification from staff after I hear from the last public speaker. I have Jack Kartzman.
Good evening. Jack Katzman, K-A-T-Z-M-A-N. I represent the ownership and management of the south side of this project. It is 1650 South E. My property goes right up against the north side of the proposed. I just want to reiterate, we have 50,000 square foot of buildings, 96 spots. They have 100,000 square foot of building, 242, and I would be glad to go with staff and count it so you know the exact number is 242. The paint store brings in trucks at all hours. They have 25 spots. The trucks take up a huge amount. There is 15,000 square foot just south of that of office space that takes 4 per 1,000. That's 60 spots. FedEx is open 7 days a week until 11 at night. They need 40 to 60 spots at any one time. Okay? There is many other bit. There's a church on Wednesdays and Sundays when these banquets are that fills the entire parking lot and into mine. There are hundreds of people in that church that is next door to the proposed building on that same property. There is a hydroponic store or marijuana store, whatever you call it, that has the whole front full 7 days a week filled. There is no room. They have only 242 spots for 100,000 square foot, and it's busy. There is no room for a second business there like this. And why is it that a legit business in my shopping center has to comply with a liquor license, insurance, and all the legal stuff, but someone could rent and say it's private? When they come in, they're going to go get liquor. They're going to sell it in the banquet hall because it's a quinceanera. We charge for beers. We charge for that. And they don't need a liquor license. There is a bar just below us. There is a Mexican restaurant bar just above us. All of hospitality has dozens of liquor establishments. And this one gets to go by without a liquor license and deal with liquor. And nobody to control it with security and all those other things. It's not fair for the businesses that are legit in this city and that have to apply for the right parking than to come in and say, oh, there's plenty of parking. There is not even a third of parking they need or a fourth to do 300 people because there's only 242 spots, and I would walk it with every one of you and count it. Anyone that said 296, they're lying. 242. We counted it twice today. Okay, I know the property well. The same owner on the south side has owned it for 40 years, and there's a new owner on the north side. The city of Riverside owns the land on that north side. And I just, it's only fair that if a business is legit and they have a liquor license, how can you vote in a business that is not controlled with a liquor license and you just say parking? We're going to have a stadium across the street. Where do you think all those people are going to park for the stadium that's right across the street? There is no room there for a new business 300 feet apart of the same. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question, Larry, for staff.
Commissioner Agnew?
Is there anything in the recommendation that they cannot allow sales of liquor out of that building, out of that facility, that banquet facility?
There's not. It's my understanding that
a
caterer can have their own liquor license and bring their own alcohol.
So they had a quinceanera, they could bring in alcohol and sell it?
A caterer.
A caterer can.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions for your staff? Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. Can we talk about parking?
Yes.
I'm just kind of curious after hearing all of this.
Mm-hmm. My analysis shows that there is enough parking. We show that there are 298 spots, and they are only required to have 285. I understand what they're saying as far as there being larger building facilities, larger square footage, but the banquet hall is only proposing to operate one day a week from about 8 p.m. till 1 a.m. Those hours are going to be relatively quiet in that area. Even this morning when I was there taking photos, there was maybe one other car there.
So are the parking units or the parking stalls, are those all shared?
They are shared, yes.
Between the entire complex?
Between the complex at 1480 and then 1650 has a similar situation. They're the neighboring complex on the south side.
Okay. Okay. And then I just one other question, if you don't mind. So how does a banquet hall normally operate with respect to alcohol?
There's a number of ways. For example, Jason actually has a restaurant associated with their banquet hall, so they can either operate just as a restaurant with their own liquor license, or they can have, you know, their events and they, you know, provide their own alcohol. Events can also be catered, and the caterer would be responsible for the alcohol license.
So if the applicant were to move forward and then they would decide that they wanted to have an event that was catered with alcoholic beverages, it would be the onus of the caterer?
That's correct.
To produce and have all of the alcohol ABC licenses,
yes,
and all that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And on that note, the caterer could come from anywhere, any city?
Yes.
And may or may not have a license?
Potentially.
Because we have no way of monitoring what's going on.
Yeah.
Who does monitor that?
Well, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
I looked to my commissioners when I asked that question, but maybe I should look to staff. Who monitors that? Like, how does that work? Who monitors? So let's.
Well, I would imagine, you know, ABC licensing board and potentially PD if there was some issue.
I'm ignorant, so that's just what I'm curious about.
Yeah, to follow up on what Chantal says, it is self-policed. I think caterers do take their licenses very seriously, and there are a number of caterers that do have ABC licenses, and it's not uncommon for caterers to travel from location to location. But you are correct, Commissioner Daly, that a caterer could come and serve alcohol and not have the appropriate licenses. That's a problem that we potentially run into with any business that chooses to operate illegally. It is a cat and mouse game, if you will. We don't have enough enforcement to monitor every business. So we do respond if somebody is serving alcohol without a permit. And ABC does respond in those cases fairly quickly. They take it very seriously, as do we.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, yes, self-policing.
I have one more question for staff. You mentioned it said one, they're going to use this business, this facility, one day a week?
That's what they're currently proposing, yes.
They're currently proposing one day. I can't
one,
see opening.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. One day a week for events. The rest of the week will be for planning events, for showing the event area. So.
I can see potential problems with this already, and I've done business at the which is now FedEx, and that parking lot's tight. I mean, when it's busy there, it's really tight, and I can understand that they're concerned about the parking alone. And myself, being that close to another established business, I'm not going to recommend that we. I just see too many potential problems stating one day a week. They don't police. There's no way of policing what alcohol goes in there. This looks like a really bad situation in the future. That's my opinion. And that parking, it's long and narrow, the whole complex, and it is very, very tight.
Mm-hmm.
When it's busy with all those other businesses there. Despite all the parking... if two of those events goes on at the same time, there's going to be problems. That's just my opinion, but thank you.
Question for staff. How many employees do they expect to employ at this particular facility during the week when it's supposed to be open from 10 to 6 for event planning?
I believe just two, just the owners of the business.
Okay.
With the conditions as enumerated, if it's just the owners, what happens to security personnel that are supposed to be available?
I believe Commissioner Wyatt's question was during the week. They will have additional security. Is it okay if the applicant comes down to address some of the issues?
Please.
Please.
Be nice.
Again, please state your name and spell it for the tape record and your address.
My name is Betsy Macias, B-E-T-S-Y-M-A-C-I-A-S. My address is 1565 Orquesta Court, Colton, California, 92324.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello.
Get a chance to answer some of the questions that are presented as far as the number of employees that you're planning on having and days of operation. The hours of operation are specified in the conditions.
Okay.
And we're having a little trouble understanding thoroughly what you're proposing for your business. So here's your opportunity to explain to us before we make any kind of a decision.
Okay. Well, first, let me say hello. Secondly, we're a family-owned business. We have an event planning shop in Fontana, California. So from, you know, the banquet hall is our next step from, you know, growing. We are from the IE, so we decided to go with San Bernardino. From Monday through Friday, we will be open from 10 to 6. And the reason there will only be 2 employees would be because my parents and myself, we are the owners. So we will, it will be open. It will be open for potential customers to come in and see the space. Our banquet hall, I would say, is a little different from the banquet hall next to us because we are not a restaurant, you know, during the week. It'll just be used, like, we will use it that day. Like, during the week, we will work making centerpieces or taking care of all the stuff. You know, like, our customers will come in and say, I want a Cinderella party. You know, they go in, we show them our work, and by our work, I mean, like, linens, the caterers that we have. There will be no alcohol sold on the property. Even if a caterer were to come in and sell it, that will not be allowed. I did make a phone call last week. I don't remember the name of the girl that I spoke to over at the ABC license place. We don't want to sell it. We don't want nobody to come in and sell it. What we want to do, and she was going to get more information from me, is if a party were to come in, like a potential customer, and they would want alcohol, then we would have to find the caterer that could provide it for them, but it would all be pre-bought. So there would not be any alcohol selling there. We will also have a licensed bartender, and we will have securities there the day of the events, which would most likely be Saturdays. That's when all events take place. I mean, we've been doing this for many years, and we don't really do events on Fridays or Sundays. So we would work Monday through Friday as a family business. Saturday, we will hold our events. Sunday will be for cleanup, and then it'll just be the same, you know, the rest of the week. So parking during the week and Sundays, we wouldn't really need, I mean, 2 cars, maybe the van in the back. That would be it. We wouldn't really need be using the property for events during the week.
Well, thank you. Does your family intend to grow the business at this location? And obviously that you're in business to make a dollar or two.
Yeah, you know.
And if I may, if you're going to grow the business, that means more frequent events, which would have a larger impact on the existing businesses that are there as the demand goes up. And it would be great if everybody could have all the business they could possibly do. And I can see that there's a potential conflict between your future operation and the businesses that are currently there that are in place and operating. So
yeah.
Would it be a fair statement that you're hoping to grow the business to more than just Saturdays?
Not there. I mean, what we would want, like our dream at the end, is that we can have our own banquet hall designed by us, you know, in the future somewhere else. Not there. I mean, if we grow, we will still only be able to hold 4 events throughout the month, which is 4 Saturdays, basically what you get, you know, in a month. We also do, you know, we have our other business, so this would always also help us get more customers. You know, a lot of people don't want a banquet hall, and they'll be having parties at their houses, and it's growing, it would be that way, you know, like, we're event planners, we're event decorators, I mean, well, that's what we do, so it wouldn't just be primarily there. Obviously, this is the next step for us, you know, because from just doing events, always decorating other people's banquet halls and things like that, we are at the point where we want to grow, you know, have our own down the line, I know you're saying, you know, we're going to have growth, and but if we will only hold events there on Saturdays, down the line growth for us means our own property somewhere else or finding a bigger location, you know, somewhere else. But realistically, all the parties, quinceañeras, weddings, baptisms, birthday parties, they happen on Saturdays. They wouldn't really happen on Fridays and Sundays. And if just to avoid conflict, I can't have parties Fridays and Sundays, then I won't. Like, my goal right now is our events on Saturdays. That is what we're focused on.
Okay, thank you. Any commissioners have any questions for the applicant?
Yeah, I do one, please.
Commissioner Abbey.
And your hours of business on Saturdays will be 10 to 6 only? It will not be in the...
No, Saturdays, the hours of it would be... well, we would be there in the morning to set up. We would like to open doors around 6 p.m., cutting it off at 1 a.m., which means that, if anything, we would be stopping the party 12:30, 12:45 to have everyone out of there. What we offer them is you come in, you know, have your party, the exit is the same. You pick up your presents and you go. Or like tables, chairs, linen, centerpieces, decorations, all that belongs to us because that is what we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other? Yeah. Commissioner Pax?
Hypothetical question. So I want to have a party and I want to bring my own booze and my own food. Would you rent to me?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to, we won't, because we don't have a kitchen, most likely, here's the thing, we don't have a kitchen, so you can come in and heat up your food anywhere. Our caterers come in with their professional serving things where the food is already warm, they put up their warmers, they put out their food, and they go. We're not trying to be a restaurant, a bar, like anything like that. You know, people will not be there during the week.
Commissioner Wyatt.
Well, first of all, you know, thank you for wanting to show interest in our city and bringing business to our city. We definitely could use that. Has your business taken a look at maybe alternative locations in our city?
No, we haven't. We went with that one. There was two vacant spots at the time we checked them out. The other one got leased, so we went with the bigger one, you know, to be able to fit. You know, when you have a banquet, you have the tables where the guests sit. You have the main table for, like, the bride and the groom. Maybe like a candy dessert table. So we just went with the space that was a little bit bigger so we could accommodate more things and stuff like that.
Question for staff.
Yes.
You know, obviously in our city, unfortunately, we have a lot of buildings that are vacant. Do we have anything that's similar in size and capacity with parking capacity as well for such a business?
Not many that I can think of. I've had a lot of inquiries about banquet halls specifically, and any kind of assembly use is very, very difficult to find anywhere where there's enough parking already.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Daly? Okay.
Thank you. I mean, I guess first of all, I'm all for throwing parties. I think that's great. So help me understand if I want to throw a party, just kind of piggyback on Commissioner Paxton's comments. So if I want to throw a party and I want to have some food catered and I want to have a bar, walk me through how that process works.
Well, right now you can only, you want to have your food catered, then you have to go through one of our caterers. Okay, you would have to, we would be like, okay, we have so-and-so catering, this is what they offer. Tell me what you want. I can build you your package deal. Right now with a bar, the only thing they're allowed to have is just, you know, because I haven't gotten a call back from the girl at the ABC licensing. See, my thing, I'm not saying, if she calls me and she says, you know what, this is the permit you need, this is the license that you need, then we'll do it that way, you know, like we'll do it legally. Right now, even when I spoke to ABC, she wasn't really able to help me over the phone because she didn't even really know what I would need. So if you were to come to me right now, I mean, even if you come to me right now, I can't offer you anything because I haven't, we haven't started, you know, we're still kind of waiting to see what we hear back from ABC. We were waiting to see if we got approved. But if, let's say you approve me and then you come to me and you say, I want to have a wedding. As of right now, I can't offer you liquor until I get a call back from the person that I contacted at ABC, and she says, you need this, this, and this. And whatever she asks of me, then we will provide that.
Okay, so that, thank you. for that response. So right now, you said your family's operating out of Fontana?
Yeah.
And you have other similar facilities?
No, this is our first.
This is your first. So
this is where we were like, okay, we need to move on to the next
first,
thing.
First step into the next big thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So you, and I'm just ignorant here, so I apologize for asking silly questions, but so if you wanted to get an ABC license, would you be getting the ABC license?
I mean, if that's what they told me at the ABC, then I would have to. Then yes, I would. I would.
Okay. I
they just they haven't told. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. It's totally
they
cool.
haven't. When I called, she also didn't know exactly because she asked me we were going to sell it. We will not sell it. The only way that I could think we would have alcohol on in the premises
mm-hmm.
would be if like the my customer was like, okay, I want to serve alcohol.
Okay.
And that's the license I'm trying to get.
Have, okay.
If they want to bring it in. I'm not trying to sell alcohol.
Yeah, no,
I don't
for
want
sure.
to do that. We've never done it. I have no experience in it. So
okay.
We don't want to do
cool.
it.
Cool. So then just, I guess, one question for staff then, and I got a couple comments. How, it seemed like we had another speaker that came up that said that they have a competing use that's in very close proximity. That's one thing that I'm a little bit concerned about. I mean, what the applicant is proposing and all of that is it is what it is, but I'm just wondering, you know, I know when we have you know, before when we've had, you know, convenience stores or 99 cent stores or other stores that have popped up and then we say, oh well, there's another, you know, similar use within X number of feet or yards from that space, that sometimes creates an issue. So I'm just trying to understand, like, the competing use in such close proximity. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, I think what you're alluding to as far as similar uses are uses that have been deemed to cause some sort of nuisance. But in this case, typically we don't regulate competition between businesses. You know, you can have five Starbucks on the same corner, so, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I think what you're referring to is whether you can consider an over-concentration or an over-proliferation of certain business uses as part of your consideration of this conditional use permit. And it is a CUP. In your staff report, there's seven findings that you have to make. It's on pages 4, 5, and 6. Among them is finding number 5, whether the location, size, design, and operating characteristics of the proposed use are compatible with the existing and future land uses within the general area in which the proposed use is to be located and will not create significant noise, traffic, and other conditions or situations that may be objectionable or detrimental to other permitted uses in the vicinity or adverse to the public interest, health, safety, convenience, or welfare of the city. It's kind of a broad finding, and you could consider an over-proliferation or over-concentration of uses within that finding and decide that it should be denied. The question is whether a second use similar to the one that's currently existing creates that adverse condition, and that's a judgment call that you're going to have to make.
Well, I guess, in my opinion, this is just where I kind of land on it. I mean, I see no reason why your particular use in your particular location should not go forward. I think, just to me, it kind of just seems like the comments and the sentiment from the commission members is, you know, dealing with really around alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, as it kind of seems to always deal around. So, I mean, to me, I don't know if it would be possible to perhaps add in a condition, something around, you know, furnishing some sort of ABC permit at such point in time when you have a use or you have, you know, some sort of tenant that is requesting it. But, I mean, you know, from my perspective, you know, what you're asking for is something that seems reasonable and doesn't seem like a big problem. It just revolves around the alcohol. So I don't know if, you know, if there might be a way to add in some sort of condition.
If they do decide to move forward with their own ABC license or something of that nature, it would require a modification to the conditional use permit and would be, again, reviewed by the commission.
Any other questions or comments? I'll follow up with a comment that competition is good. It makes everybody improve their performance. If there wasn't competition or if there was an issue with a similar type operation being in next door, we wouldn't have Restaurant Row anywhere. So the public needs a chance to have a choice of the venues they wish to use. It's up to each business person to make their venue the most attractive to the clientele that's available. That's the business, that's the American way, so to speak, is you promote your business and make it the best business you can, and the winner is the person that succeeds and attracts the clientele. Any other comments or suggestions? Well, thank you, Mr. I'll entertain a motion.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I would move that the Planning Commission adopt a categorical exemption and approve Conditional Use Permit 15-10 based on findings of facts contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval.
We'd like to amend condition number one. It states the hours of operation for the events to be from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., and I believe that the applicant said 6 p.m. was the start time that they were looking to adopt. So.
Are you amenable to that?
I am wide open.
One moment, please. Commissioner Machen, are you still good with your second?
Yes.
Ms. Macias, thank you very much for your time and efforts. And let me hear from the property owner one more time, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jack Katzman. Competition is great. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking, the alcohol is not free. If you either sell by the glass or you say it's $3,000 to supply all the liquor to people, it's the same. Who's to control that there's not 15-year-olds drinking and what time they stop drinking? At 12:45, they're not going to be out there. The applicant just said most likely we're not doing it on Friday and Sunday. That means they are doing it on Friday and Sunday. She said, most likely. Not, we're not. Nobody addressed that. And the bottom line, they counted my parking spots if it's 290-something. They have 242, which you require 280-something. There is not that parking there, and it should be checked, and I'd be glad to walk it with anybody. 242 on that piece of property, and that's the number that's there.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Katzman.
Thanks.
I have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
We have two opposed and four favor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Pena.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to read for the record that the decision of the Planning Commission is final unless an appeal is filed and the fee paid within 15 days of the decision tonight.
Thank you. Agenda item number five.
Okay, moving on. Can you, Travis? Thank you. Oh, sorry. The last project of the night is for sign program 15-04 and variance 15-01. The request is to allow the installation of the electronic message center sign and permit an increase in the allowable area for the wall-mounted LED digital display board on the student housing recreation building at the Glen at University Park project. Which is located at 1831 North Park Boulevard in the CG3 University Village zone. Again, this project was reviewed by the Development and Environmental Review Committee on August 27th, and the recommendation was to move to Planning Commission. As you can see, the location is directly across the street from the Cal State campus on the south side or southwest side of North Park Boulevard. If you can see the site plan here, the wall-mounted sign will actually be on the recreation building, which is approximately 100 feet from the property line and about 160 feet or so from the center line of the street there, North Park Boulevard. And, that is the rendering of what the sign will look like. And on the next photos, you can see the building that is painted red is actually where the sign will be located. So the pictures are taken from the property line and then from across the street at the Cal State campus property line. We're asking for a slight variation in the allowable size. Currently, the development code allows 100 square feet for an electronic message board wall-mounted sign. We're asking for 137 feet, and being that it's set back from the street, staff feels that it won't cause an issue. So our recommendation is for the Planning Commission to approve sign program 15-04 and variance 15-01 based on the findings of fact and the staff report, subject to the conditions of approval.
A quick question, because the sign size that we're allowing the modification.
Chairman Heasley, I have one more item to add. Oh. The applicant has provided an informational packet to all of the commissioners.
We're looking at it.
Okay.
My question is my understanding was the LED reader board portion of the sign was the size limitation as opposed to the overall sign, which has a fixed component above and below.
The development code reads that the allowable sign area, the total sign area, is 100 square feet, and that the LED portion of that may be 75% of it. So currently, the size of the sign is 137 square feet. The size of the LED portion of it is 89 square feet. So the total portion of the electronic message board that is only 14 square feet larger than what we would allow in that case.
Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for staff? Do we have a presentation from the applicant?
Oh, yes. Okay. One more condition was added also. Condition number 8, pardon. The condition will read, the EMC reader board shall only advertise events associated with the Glen at University Park mixed-use property and events occurring on the CSUSB campus.
Your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Planning Commission members and staff. My name is Jim Watson. I'm the managing member of University Park Promenade and Shops, LLC, which is requesting this approval. I want to thank the staff. They've been, you know, with a short staff, they've been very, they've helped us solve issues as they've come up, so I appreciate that very much. My address is 101 Main, Suite A, Seal Beach, California. The sign, I'd like to make, if I can, a little change to your recommendation. The sign is really can only be seen practically from our property and the university parking lot. The intention of the sign is to really advertise things that are happening to the Glen and university. I'm offering, I've already told the university, that they can have 20% usage free of the sign for whatever they, however they want it. I've also, we're working with Jake, their technology manager there, and he's most interested in actually taking over the management of the sign. We will pay them what I envision and we've talked about, is perhaps this can be a class or a portion of a advertising class where students have real life experience. Where else do they get real life experience working on digital signs where they do a variety of advertising and other things? But I would like to ask for, we want to also be able to use it for our retail center.
That is actually included in that condition for the entire mixed-use property.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the only thing we'd use it for is for the Glen, yeah. And we would split up the usage, and I don't think we'll have a lot of usage by the retail. We will charge them a nominal amount. This is not a profit center. I'm paying Milton here, Milton Solomon is president of ADS, and they came to me with an idea, and it was just so exciting. Their whole sign program. I think this will be the only digital sign on any student housing in the entire United States. I mean, and to say that, yeah, we don't make any money out of it, but you know what it will do for this project. It just brings up another significant amenity, and it's significant for the city of San Bernardino. The Glen is 104 units, 5 bedrooms, 5 baths. And we have about, because of students wanting to reduce rates, the rooms are so large that we have approximately 50 bedrooms that we're going to have, two to a room. And I'd invite you to come over and see it. It's pretty exciting. What I've done quality-wise, is I've just really thrown a lot at this money and amenities, and I don't know if you've actually gone by and looked at it, but I think you would say, my gosh, San Bernardino, this is really neat. There's condos that are built in and apartments in Irvine, very similar architecture, and I should have taken some pictures of it, but we are superior to what they're building in Irvine on our exterior architecture, what we've done. So we have just endless amenities that we've added to it. We've tried to take a very high design element, and ADS, Milton, has come up with a sign program that just really is neat, and this is part of the integral part of it. We've had, over the last 2 months particularly, I've had loan brokers, mortgage brokers, which are slightly different, financial institutions and student owners of student housing and managers, and they have all stated without even asking that this is the most outstanding. It'd be in the top 1% of the most outstanding student housing they've seen in the United States as far as architecture, aesthetics, and amenities, not even including the location. The location is just about the best you can get. So I'm proud to do, you know, projects like this. To give you an idea, it has a market value over $75 million. And so it's a significant, just that one component of this project. So it's a significant value that we're bringing to the city. And it really truly brings this sign and the entire sign program truly brings a 21st, you know, century element to our project. So I have Milton Solomon here if you have any technical or design questions you'd like to ask. And I appreciate your courtesy and listening. It's always been a pleasure working with you. I'm in this city to stay. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Well, thank you, James. Any questions for Mr. Watson?
Have a comment. I'd like to say that I have seen the facility. It is beautiful. It is a very, very gorgeous-looking facility. I have a friend of mine whose daughter actually lives there.
She will live there,
yeah. And she has nothing but good to say about it. It is a really beautiful-looking facility, and it pops very well up there, right where the location is. I hope you can do more of it, so thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Commissioner White?
I'd just like to echo that sentiment by saying that this is exactly what our city needs in regards to a development and a planning project, and the way it looks as well. And I'm a graduate from Cal State 4 different times, and I just wish you were there 30 years ago when I went to school there. I might have had a little bit more fun being able to just walk across the parking lot. So really would like to see that north end blow up even more. So if you have any ideas or plans up there,
please bring them here and try to develop our north end because we desperately need it. Just wish that sign was in a little bit more visible location for our public. I understand it's there and it's for the, you know, the complex there and the university, but I think it's something that our guests would love to see as well, just to promote it even more. You know, we get a lot of traffic going in and out of that university, not just for the students, but also for entertainment, events, sport venues. I'll be there this Saturday working for the Reading Rally Roundup. We expect 5,000 kids and families there. So that's something
for
we want to...
For the book fair?
It's called the Reading Rally Roundup. It's part of the countywide vision, Cradle to Career. It's a big program that we're pushing with the County of San Bernardino as well as County Office of Ed. But it's something that, again, we would love to see that sign out there and just pushing more business in our area in that north end, because I believe there's tremendous potential there. So, again, I just want to thank you for that project. Please do. We need it. And that's our gem of the city. Cal State definitely is an anchor that we could build around. So, thank you.
You don't mind. I've put together a deal with Molina Foundation and the university, and they have signed a contract to donate 50,000 books a year that are new books, and many of them are Disney books. And our first, we're not our first, this will be, we've had several of them, but on Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're going to have the book fair where we're giving the books out. And so we have a lot. So I think that's it. I'll see you there at 9 o'clock.
I'll
introduce you to Tino Bernadette, and he's the he's Molina, and he's going to be out there, and maybe his wife, Martha Molina Bernadette, will be there. So, but I'm very excited about this, and I know them well, and I think that...
Well, I'd like to get more information on that about, you know, who's donating those books and that you work with. You know, we'll have two booths there ourselves, and one of them is actually an exhibition of MMA. Just so our folks here, we'll be bringing in a UFC champion, Bellator champion, and also King of the Cage champion. So, you know, we're bringing a lot of PR over there to that program, and we want to push it real hard. So, okay. Looking forward to seeing you there.
You can contact me. Check with Ricky McManus. She's Development Services for the College of Education, mm-hmm. and she's coordinating.
I know who she
is. And she is dynamite.
Yep. Been working with her.
Hey, I'm sorry.
I have a comment. Jim, I challenge. Each time that you come before us, you come with something bigger and better and higher quality. Continue to do so. You're a tremendous supporter of our city. And if we had nothing but developers in your stint, then the city would probably not be in the situation it's in bankruptcy-wise. So I attribute to your dedication to our fair city. Thank you. And at that note, unless there's something else, I entertain a motion.
Chair Heasley, I believe that there was one question. No? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Fine.
We have a...
Were your questions answered?
A speaker
okay.
slip that I had
okay.
missed. Mr. Watson, I have an individual would like to speak.
It sounds like she's redacted. Her questions have been answered, so I think we're okay.
Okay. Thanks. I'm sorry about that. All right, at that point, I'll entertain a motion. It's all quiet. Can I make the motion?
Sure. Go ahead.
No, I can't make the motion.
Okay. I'll make the motion. the Planning Commission adopts the. I can't read this. I'm missing my glasses. I'm sorry. Could somebody else do this? It's all blurry. I forgot to bring them with me.
Commissioner Wyatt?
All right, we motion that the Planning Commission adopt the categorical exemption and approve sign program review 1504 and variance 1501 based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval.
As modified.
Oh, as amended. My apologies.
And I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Watson, again. And I'd like to recognize Mr. Funk, former director here many years ago.
Thank you,
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Watson, for continuing with our city. We really appreciate it. Or I do, anyhow.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Next will be non-public hearing items. None. Public comments for items not on the agenda. Being none. Planning Commission reports or announcements?
Got one.
Commissioner Eggman?
Before our next meeting, the rendezvous, Route 66, the Chamber of Commerce is putting it on October the 10th. It's not going to be as big as the Great American Race, but it will be in the same area. So I encourage everybody to come down. There's about 100 cars registered right now. The Neighborhood Association Council is going to have a booth, and we're going to be selling snow cones and popcorn. So come on down. It's from 10 in the morning till 10 in the evening, October 10th, the second Saturday of October.
And I have one. Tomorrow's the 17th, right? The combined Neighborhood Association, Kendall Hills, and Vermont Neighborhood Association are having a candidate forum at Western Little League.
I'll be there.
Regional, starting at 6:30, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Well, let me
tomorrow evening. And the candidates for school board and for at least fifth ward are going to be there and present their credentials to the public to help public make a decision on voting. There's a lot of candidates for school board running.
Yep.
Nobody else saying anything. Director's report.
No, just again, I want to announce again, you know, formally that on Saturday we'll be having a reading rally roundup. As you heard earlier, Cal State San Bernardino, expecting 4,000 to 5,000 families out there. There's going to be a tremendous amount of fun activities for the kids, fire department, sheriff's department, just about every department you could think of. We'll be there, SWAT mobiles and fire trucks. So give me a heck of an event, and just nice to find out that one of our partners is also involved as well, donating all those books. I didn't know where they came from, but now I do, and that's greatly appreciated.
All right, now we'll go to the director's report.
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. I will keep this brief. I've got a couple of pieces of information for that Stephanie is handing out. One is the monthly update to the major projects list. So this is also, as I've mentioned before, posted on our departmental website, and we do try to have it updated by the first of every month. We also, tomorrow is third Thursday already. So for those commissioners who are in town or community members who are in town, please come on down between 11 and 2. We have 9 food trucks, and we had 2,600 attendees last month. 2,600. So we are slowly growing, and we are getting more community members involved, and that has always been the goal, to bring the community to this event and not make it just a business and professional office environment, but to really get the community involved. And then the third item is the update on the development code. Our consultant is continuing to work on that. Staff does meet every month, although we didn't meet last month. We do meet every month with members from other departments, Public Works, Parks and Recreation, City Attorney's Office is involved. And we are still anticipating having a draft environmental document that will be circulated starting in November, and then we will have a draft of the code at the same time as well. And that concludes my report. I'm available to answer any questions.
Nobody has any questions tonight. Well, thank the staff again for an excellent job keeping me from wandering off on the side and forgetting things. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment to Wednesday, October 21st. I have a motion. I have a second. I have 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Everybody went to live another day.